Well, welcome everyone. Thanks for attending our seminar on the COVID-19 government benefits. There's been a flurry of activity over the past 6 weeks with the government announcing this benefit and that benefit, and then changing this and changing that. And so I thought it'd be useful for to get a perspective from Derek Rolston, who's the head of Stone Strategies, an HR consulting firm he started 6 years ago. He had been sending out briefs on a weekly basis saying, you know, take a look at this, take a look at that. And so I asked him, hey, would you be willing to do a presentation on all the different benefits? And so he graciously agreed to that. And so he's going to present, and not just on the mechanics of the benefits. He'll talk about each of the major ones briefly, but also on how you can use the time to, or this current bizarre situation we're in, to help cement sort of positive relationships with your employees and use some of the government benefits to your advantage and to your employees' advantage. So so in terms of mechanics, I've muted everyone. If anyone has a question, the simplest way is to use the chat function. I'm not sure if everyone's is zoomed out or not, but if you've used Zoom, the chat function is at the bottom. You can send questions to me. And if they're related to Derek's specific topic at the time, I will pass them on. And then if they're not, we might cover them at the end. And so I see Derek has already shared the screen, so I will unmute him. And Derek, it's over to you.
Steve, thanks so much. I'm happy that there's such a great turnout. I was pleasantly surprised when we hit our capacity yesterday in terms of the maximum number of people that can join us. So thanks to our friends at Beal Brokers and the good work that they do. It obviously shows that there's an interest in this topic. I see a number of clients, of interested folks on this. I also see a number of COVID beards on the screen. I lost mine yesterday. I was on version 5.0. My daughters have mentioned that the beards are getting grayer and grayer each time. So we'll see how that goes. I'm also happy to have an opportunity to put on a blazer for the first time in a month. I think my wife was getting tired of my, Western University sweatshirt. So that's exciting. I'm going to take you through some, I think, important information. The nine most feared words in the English language is I'm going to take you through this PowerPoint, but hopefully you're going to get something out of it. You'll have an opportunity to ask some questions. Like Steve said, just type those in and we'll get to those maybe at the end of the presentation. I want to make sure that everyone gets what they need from this. Some of it might be repetitive for you. Everyone's kind of in a different place on this. If you get what you need and you have to hop off, I promise you I won't be offended. If you feel the need to watch some riveting Trudeau press conference at the same time, hey, I understand. My firm has about 75 different businesses that we work with. And like I said, some have joined us on the call. I think the other thing is that I'm a small business person too, so I'm going through a lot of the same stuff that you are. A number of things that we talk about are going to be from an HR perspective. It's not mushy HR. It's, business, what I like to call business HR. But from a disclaimer perspective, some of these things that we talk about today, you might want to talk to your finance or payroll person about. I'm going to give you some details. I'm going to do my best for you. But some of them you might want to get some other assistance on. Steve said that these are weird times, or I think he said bizarre times. I've heard the term unprecedented so many times. I'm getting tired of hearing about it. But I'd also suggest to you that this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity to, as business people, as heads of organizations, an opportunity to set yourselves apart from your competitors, from other people in your industry. We're going to talk about a number of programs that I think are out there to help you. I think between those, between the business sense that you already have, from the advice that you're getting from other people, from your common sense, from your good manners, and maybe, you know, maybe a little bit if you're inclined through the power of prayer, I think we'll all get through this together. These are things that, again, will help you set your company apart. We're going to talk a little bit today about attraction, retention, engagement. Okay. That's ARE. We'll talk more about that. My clients probably get tired of hearing about it. My students for sure at Red River when I was there were tired of hearing about it. And you're going to hear a little bit about it today and how we can leverage some of these programs that are out there to help with ARE. And then, of course, we're going to have some time at the end for questions and answers, as much time as you need. So how do we leverage these COVID-related programs that are out there? How can we use these to set yourselves apart? How can we use attraction, retention, engagement as a way to be more profitable? I know it's hard to think about profits during this tough time, but let's why not talk about it? The fact that you're on this call shows that you're interested in that. So there are a myriad of government programs out there. I think a lot of you are probably familiar with many of them or most of them. Again, some of this might be a bit, little bit repetitive, and I apologize for that. Some of these things out there really test your economic IQ, right? There's a number of acronyms out there, right? CERB, CWS, right? Maybe one of the programs could be called WTF, right? But what I like to call the programs, I'm a numbers guy. I just like to use the numbers. You'll hear me talk about these programs, the 75% program, the 10% program, the $40,000 program, the $2,000 a month program. And hopefully that'll help help you understand them. So from an overview perspective, there's these six areas that I want to talk about today before we start talking about how we can leverage these into ARE, right? And some of the stuff that you'll see, I've borrowed from our friends at Grant Thornton. I don't know anyone there. They're not a client of mine, but they sent me some stuff and I kind of liked it. So I cut and paste. So I'd suggest to you, if you need some more details, you know, some of these slides are a bit busy and my marketing friends would say, Derek, there's too much stuff on your slides. I get that. But I wanted to put some things on there that would be of interest to folks that help explain at least some of these programs. But if you need more details, again, talk to your finance professional, your accountant, your payroll person. Go on that Grant Thornton website. It's pretty helpful. So the first area that I want to talk about in three parts is the wage subsidy, the CEWS program. I call it the 75% program. I think people are already fairly aware of this. It just opened for business on the 27th. People have gone in. People have already applied for it. I have. I'm sure a number of you on the call already have. This is a program that will, it's designed to keep people at work, okay, or to bring people back. The whole idea that the federal government has is that if, and it's a good one, you know, if they can keep people working, it'll help businesses, it'll help us get through this together. So 75% up to $58,000. So if you've got employees making under $58,000, which is probably most of them, you can pay them, you can get a subsidy upwards of 75% on $847 a week. There are some restrictions in place for this. Some people don't qualify for this. I think most people are aware when they first rolled it out, you had to suffer a business loss of 30%. A lot of people started saying, well, wait a minute, my business hasn't gone down that much. They changed that for the first month to 15% for March. Afterwards, it does go to the 30%. So a number of people qualify for this, a number of organizations. Some might not. The other thing that people, I don't think we're completely aware of is it's not just the 75%, and I talk about it in the bottom bullet there. It's also the EI and CPP premium, or what's called burden. You know, that's in the neighborhood of 10%. So there's some good savings there for folks. So if you need some more details on that, if you go on the Department of Finance website, if you go on the Grant Thornton website, it will help you through this. One of the initial programs that came out that some people have kind of forgotten about, although a lot of people are taking advantage of it, is the 10% wage subsidy. People can do this immediately. There was no restrictions in terms of business loss. And that 10%, that savings, comes directly from your quarterly tax remittances. So absolutely, your payroll person can help you with this. If you don't, let me get a little plug in here. If you don't have someone, if you don't have an organization that helps you with your payroll, this might be a time to get one. This I think shows why you need them. They're not very expensive. There's good ones out there like Ceridian or Payworks or Rise. You might think about it. It probably would save you some time and some money. So the temporary wage subsidy, right? Can you use this in conjunction with the 75%? Yeah, it's part of it, right? And like I said, the calculations when you go in to do those will help you to manage this. The third thing I wanted to mention, this is an existing program. Some of my clients, I have to confess, I wasn't an expert on this at all, and still aren't, but some of my clients were already using this WorkShare program. I think this has kind of been lost in the myriad of programs that have come out. The WorkShare is normally a 38-week program. It's now been extended to 76 weeks. This is a way to kind of cobble together some work that you might have so you're not laying people off. So if you have three people, but you really only have the work for two of them, how can you put these together and save jobs? And again, the restrictions on this are much less. You don't have to have suffered a loss of 30%. And again, this program was already in place. I would look into this. It's a bit, I don't know if it's complicated. It's a little bit of work to put together to show that you need this program in your workplace and what your plan is. But I would absolutely look into this. Steve, how are we doing? Is it okay so far?
Yeah.
No problem?
No, everything's fine.
Okay.
I assume everyone can hear.
Good. The SEBA program, this is what I'd call the $40,000 program. This is not a wage subsidy program. This is a loan program. I'm not an expert on business finances. I took advantage of this program. A lot of people have already. It was fairly easy through your bank. A lot of people have already got this money, this $40,000, which is great. People are supposed to use this for rent, for wages, for office supplies, whatever you need. I had a question the other day, well, what if I don't spend the money? I mean, you've got 2.5 years to spend it. It would be hard to believe that you couldn't spend $40,000, but I guess everyone's in a different boat. It's interest-free, as I think people know, up until the end of 2022. And 10,000 of it is forgivable. So it's not just a loan, it's a $10,000 grant, which I'm sure everyone can use and take advantage of. If you need more information on this, I would talk to your finance professional that can help you with it. The CURB program is not really something for business, but for something for some of your employees. I think most people are aware of this program. It's actually worked better than I thought it would in terms of getting money in people's hands. Lots of people were laid off. Lots of people on the call probably had to lay people off. I get that. Like I said, the money has gone fairly well into people's hands. This is to replace EI. Some people would suggest that there's a lack of fairness in it, in that it's a flat rate. Basically, if you make over $37,000, it would have been better for you to be on EI than to be on the CURB program. That's the way it goes. Some people would suggest that there's a lack of fairness in a program that pays someone if they made $6,000 a year or made $66,000 a year, they're getting the same amounts. Is that fair? Some would suggest no. I get that. But this program puts everybody on the same page. And for ease of payment, that's the reason that they set it up this way. This is probably a reason, especially for your higher priced employees, why you'd want to look at and do the math on bringing them back to work so that they can collect, you know, perhaps 75% or 100% of their former wage. So with the CERB, and I bet you there's people on the line right now that I can see that I've talked to about this exact program. There's been an unintended consequence, right? Those of you that read Freakonomics, many of you probably have. If you haven't, you might want to. They talk about the Cobra effect. What's that mean? Well, it's when something sounds like a good idea, and the CERB sounds like a good idea. I get that. Getting money into people's hands that need it. What's the unintended consequence of that? What's the side effect? Well, there's people out there that don't really want to work. Right? There's people that have been laid off and don't want to come back to work. Because they'd rather be at home and collect the money. And I get that. And some people have kids at home. And I understand all of that. But it's created a problem for some businesses in terms of hiring. And if you want to talk about that a little bit more, we absolutely can. So with regards to students, right? Some of you were coming into student hiring time. Some of you have students at home, children, right? Some of you want to hire students. Good news, bad news, good news on this one. So I think most people are aware that a new program came out about a week ago, what I call the $1,250 program. This is for students who are, you know, post-secondary students who maybe would have got summer jobs, can't get them now, allegedly, and the government will pay them, kind of like the CERB program, $1,250 to stay at home for May, June, July, and August. And that sounds like a good plan in some ways. Again, with this, you have the unintended side effect of people not wanting to work. They'd rather be at home and maybe work on their TikToks, right, or their video games and not work. And that, you know, that maybe says something about them. 2 weeks ago, the federal government announced that the Canada Summer Job Grant was extended, not just to this fall, but into next spring, which sounds great. This is an existing program. The only problem with this is the deadline for it was February 28th. Again, it was an existing program. So there's definitely good things about this program. It can be tough to have your application accepted for this, from what I've heard from clients. But if you were lucky enough to get one of these grants, it has been extended. So that's great. The other piece that I wanted to talk about is our provincial government, and maybe this shows some differences between the philosophies of our provincial government and our federal government. They announced last Friday, not all the details have come out yet in terms of applying for it, but a provincial $7 an hour subsidy program for people that do want to work. So if someone wants to work, you know, in the landscaping business and, you know, maybe you were going to pay them $15 an hour, you know, you're going to have now upwards of half of that wage subsidized through May, June, July, and August for that summer student. I think that's great. If you can hire students, wonderful. You might want to take advantage of this program.
Derek, a couple of questions coming in on the CERB program, or the WorkShare specifically, how that interacts with CERB and with EI, because the WorkShare worked through the EI program. So does the CERB impact that at all? What are the implications of the CERB on the WorkShare?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, they are separate programs. And from my understanding, and people are going to want to dig deeper into this when they apply for the WorkShare, like CERB has replaced EI for people that are at home and not working, or people that have been laid off. But CERB has not replaced EI for the WorkShare program. Those programs are separate.
Okay, good. And the other question, apparently there's been a change to the CERB that the 5,000 earning requirement that has been waived, that you had to earn at least 5,000 in the prior year.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty easy to earn $5,000. I mean, you just have to make $420 a month. So that's kind of the example I was using earlier. I was saying someone who makes 6,000 versus someone that makes 66,000. Getting the exact same amount. So, I mean, that's a federal policy. And again, that's the kind of thing that might disincentivize people from going out to get jobs.
And another question, someone who just started a business in January, I believe they're covered because they can use January, February as a benchmark, but are there any issues in terms of someone who's just started a business?
You know, I watched the press conference when Bill Morneau rolled this out 3 weeks ago, and I got the information out to my clients fairly quickly. They used pretty loose language in terms of, you know, first of all, trying your best to pay people 100%. You know, when they're using language like, you know, do your best, it makes me think that it's not that buttoned down, which is probably good. The second thing people were asking at that press conference is, what about for newer businesses? And like you just said, Steve, they are being pretty loose. And there's language in my deck. And also, if you dig deeper on it, I think they're going to be pretty forgiving, especially for newer businesses, to show business losses in the beginning part of this year. The third answer to that question would be, the Pallister government rolled out, and I had it in a slide. I think I actually had it in the wrong slide. It was one too late, in red at the bottom. There's a $6,000 program for people that don't qualify for any of those businesses or any of those business loans or programs. I didn't think that there would be anyone that wouldn't qualify, but I think there are. And I was actually just talking to someone that I partner with that has applied for that $6,000 provincial program as well, which is a forgivable loan.
Great. Thanks.
Good. That Emergency Commercial Rent Assistance Program, I'm not an expert on this. It got rolled out a couple of weeks ago. They started speaking about it. It got rolled out last Thursday. This is a plan for people, obviously, that are paying rent. If they can show some losses, there's a federal program in place to help cover that rent with their, in partnership with their landlord and with the federal government. So this might be something that you want to look into. And the sixth slide that I had on this was just a bit of a catch-all of some things that you might have heard of but might have forgotten about. Frankly, I was looking at this earlier, and there was one that I had forgotten about too. So there's some stuff with mortgage deferrals, which might be on the personal or business side, GST credit, Canada Child Benefit. You'll see some extra money at the beginning for those that qualify for that. Income taxes, you might recall, the deadline has been changed. If you owe money, which some of you might, if you're paying dividends to yourself especially, are not due till the end of the summer. Winnipeg property taxes, if you're not on that TIP plan, you're supposed to still pay them by June 30th, but I see that there's no penalties in place, so which might be a disincentive for people to pay. And also some changes with regards to seniors. So some of these may or may not affect your business, but they might be personal stuff that would be helpful for you. So the government is spending a lot of money to keep the economy going. Some of these things will probably work better than others. Is there any questions that came up on any of those areas, Steve?
Nothing in particular. Someone did ask a question about all the previous ones. Is everyone due for an automatic audit in 2021 if they took advantage of any of these?
Well, you know, it's hard to say, right? You got to be pretty careful. If you've got people in your business and someone's, you know, some business owners have gone on CERB themselves, right? Some business owners are using the 75% to pay for their own salary. There's nothing wrong with that, but you got to make sure that you're being careful and you're not taking advantage of these programs, right? If you've got, if your spouse owns half of your business, you and they're on the curb, well, you can't pay them the 75%. So that's the kind of stuff that you need to talk with your accountant or finance professional or payroll person to make sure that you're doing okay. I think there's going to be a lot of people that are going to owe, especially when they come back to work and are maybe getting this 75%, but they were on the curb before. I think that there's going to be employees that are going to owe some money too, right? When this all gets figured out, I guess early next year.
Yeah, and the 75%, I think you mentioned this, but it covers the EI and the CPP as well.
On top of the 75%, yeah.
Like, does it cover 75% of that cost or 100% of that cost?
No, it covers it covers 100%. It covers 75% of the salary and then 100% of the EI CPP burden, right? The CPP is around 5.25%. The EI, forget what it is, 4.2 maybe. So close to 10%. That's covered.
Okay. And then a couple of questions on the rent, just a bit more information. Does a tenant have any way to force a landlord to do it? My gut feel is probably not, but.
No. And you know, I'm not a landlord, but if I was, I'd rather be collecting most of my rent, than my tenant going out of business and collecting no rent in the future. So that's something that tenants need to figure out landlords need to figure out for themselves.
Yeah. Based on given the landlord has to give up 25, it may be hard to twist their arm, but.
Yeah, it's kind of a bird in the hand, right?
Yeah.
So this stuff, like, you know, we've just spent the last half hour going over it. There's questions about it. I think probably some questions have been answered, I hope. There's probably maybe some aha moments that people have gotten in looking at this deck. And Steve, you're going to send this deck out to all the participants.
Yes, we'll send it out to them.
The provincial government announced a few weeks ago that they've contracted with local providers 24/7 in touch to help folks make it through this, right? They've trained their people on the federal programs. They've put $4 million into this program. This is their number. If there's people that you want to talk to that can explain actually filling out those forms way better probably than Steve or I or your financial professional. So this help is available for you. And I haven't called it yet, but I'm sure it's much more helpful than trying to do it on your own. Some of the stuff is easy. That $40,000 program, it was super easy. You had to fill out four boxes, and two of the boxes were your first and last names. But the 75% is tougher. There's no doubt about it. There's some, you know, I was talking to a client yesterday. You know, the payroll dates on the 75% program don't line up with their payroll, right? Some people are on monthly, some are on biweekly, some are on semi-monthly. It's tricky. So there's some work required on it. So, like, what through this tough time, like, what do your employees want, right? Well, maybe you should ask them, right? Some people want to be laid off, right? Some people have kids at home. Some people want to be back at work. Some want to work from home. So, you know, maybe we check with 1990s pop philosophers, the Spice Girls, right? Tell me what you want, what you really, really want, right? This is the kind of stuff that you should be communicating with your employees. What's in your HR policy manual? If you have one, great. If you don't have one, maybe this is, you know, maybe this will be an impetus for putting one of these together, right? We did one last year with a client. They have four employees. They put together an 80-page manual because they want to grow and they want to make sure that they have stuff in place. And some of it includes this type of thing. It contemplates, you know, who are essential workers and how do layoffs work? And what do you have in your HR policy manual on working from home? Some have scrambled and put this stuff together in the last 2 months. Some already had these things in place. Some probably still need to do it as they start to bring more workers back, right? Have you cross-trained people? It's probably a good idea anyway, but maybe now this will provide the motivation and impetus for you to do this. And how is the work set up? How do people work from home, right? There's tons of information out there on that. So let's go back to our friends at ARE, Attraction, Retention, Engagement. How can we use these programs, right? Well, people are hiring, right? Some of you on this call, I know, are hiring. Some need to think about hiring, right? Some need to start planning for the future. But I can tell you, I mean, at Stone Strategies, we're the biggest Indeed users in Manitoba. We got lots of searches on the go. We have, you know, we did a posting the other day. We had 99 applicants in 3 days. People are looking. People are worried. They have time, right? They're working from home or not working from home. And so they're thinking, hey, maybe I'll go find a new place to work. So this is something that you want to think about, and you want to tell your story, right? In your ad, instead of just giving a job description, maybe in your ads that are on Indeed or on LinkedIn or on your web page, maybe you talk about the things you're doing and how you're setting yourself apart from other employers, how you're getting through this COVID, right? You want to tell your story. Maybe this is the time where you want to set up informal or formal referral programs. Let's get your employees to help us find other employees. Let's reward them. Let's get your friend, a third of Canadians get their jobs through referrals. Let's get friends, family, in-laws, get them to help us out. Let's tell the story. So can you hire during this crazy time? Absolutely, you can. Can you upgrade? Can you find people that, can you capture talent? Yeah, absolutely you can. Right? There's this Indeed ad that I love that looks like the guy's leaving, but he's starting a new job. Awesome, right? Everyone's using Indeed. How do we keep people working? Well, we just spent the last half hour talking about it, right? These programs that they've put in place are super expensive, but I have to confess they're more than I thought, and there's some good programs in place. People are already using them and taking advantage of them, and you need to think about how you can do that with your organization. So in terms of retaining good employees, right, this is an opportunity. This weird dark time is an opportunity for us to assess our employees. Right? Who's coming? Who's really coming to bat for the organization? Which people are coming back to work versus ones that would rather be at home, right? It's also an opportunity for employees to assess you and your organization and how you're doing and how you've handled this crisis. So it's not just a crisis, it's an opportunity, right? It's a retention opportunity. Maybe it's a year from now, and maybe one of your employees gets a call from a place and they say, hey, do you want to come and work for XYZ company? You know, no, I think I'll stay here. These guys, you know, Steve really came to bat for me. He really did a good job during that COVID crisis. I don't want to let him down. I want to stick with this organization. That's the kind of stuff you can think about, right? This isn't mushy HR stuff. This is bottom line profit, because it costs money to hire people. Costs money to train people, right? Why don't we just wrap our arms around the good ones and help them stay with the organization? Is this also an opportunity for some maybe deadwood to leave the organization? Yeah, some of my clients have done that. So, you know, what are some things that your team needs to make it through, right? They need information, right? You're getting information now, but as leaders of organizations, or your leaders need to be providing information, what's going on, right? Building that sense of community. How is this company helping me? What are some tips for working remotely? How are we all going to do this together? Right? We're covering a lot of this stuff. You know, one that's really helpful is encouraging people to provide feedback, right? This Zoom thing has worked out great. Everyone's on it right now. It's worked out great. It's a great way to keep in touch with people, right? Maybe that's a silver lining of the COVID crisis. And I guess, you know, having an open, you know, not an open door, but an open line, right? Making things fun, right? Having these Zoom calls with your employees, and I don't know, maybe they're wearing funny hats or something, or they can talk about their favorite movie or whatever. It's a way to motivate people, right? Reminding people to be grateful of where things are at. How are we doing for questions, Steve? Anything coming up?
No, I think we're okay.
All right. So ARE, E is for engagement, right? This is people giving discretionary effort, right? To get more work done, to make more profits for your organization. And I really believe strongly in the power of stories. I talked in one of my notes that went out to folks a couple of weeks ago about one of my clients who, you know, they had 12 employees. They contacted Save On Foods. I'm sure you could do this with local suppliers too. They contacted them and sent out like $100. They didn't ask them. They didn't send gift cards. They just put together like $100 kind of hamper to all their employees and had it delivered. That's awesome, right? That's the kind of stuff that gets remembered. That's the kind of stuff that gets repeated in organizations. So we're getting close to the end, which I'm sure some of you are happy about. We've talked about the programs that are available. We're talking about ARE and how we can lever or leverage these programs. We're covering a lot. You know, I've had a lot of people asking me in the last few months now for advice. I've given advice on a lot of these different areas on things that we've talked about so far today. I found maybe the best piece of advice is from the brothers at Delta Tau Chi, right? And a lot of people are taking advantage of this one, sometimes on Zoom calls, which maybe is helpful as well. But I want to make sure, and I think we're doing okay for time here. I want to make sure that we have some opportunity for some more questions that might come up. And if there's things that are maybe more specific that we might be able to help you with on this one.
Great. Well, thank you, Derek. And we had a number of questions come in through the chat box, and I think we answered most, or the ones that we could answer, we answered verbally. I think what I'll do is open it up for questions verbally. So I'll unmute everyone. I think only one person through this technology, only one person can speak at a time. So let me open it up and let's see, make sure I got this thing there. So we have a bit of background noise, but if anyone wants to ask Derek question or myself for that matter.
I have a question, Steve.
Yeah, go ahead.
Our landlord does not want to participate in giving us a break on the commercial rent, you know, and very frustrating when the, you know, you had, it's a tutorial service, Sylvan tutorial service, where 50 kids were coming in, and now we don't have anybody coming in and we have to pay the rent.
I don't think we can force a landlord, especially since they have to take a 25% cut. But Derek, I don't know if you have another comment on that.
Yeah, that's a tough one. You're just going to have to talk to your landlord and help them understand your situation better.
They just don't want to participate at all.
Yeah,
and I know some landlords are that way.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
You fired my wish, I died.
I don't know if that was a question or just some background on this, but anyone has any specific questions?
I have a comment. It's a very good session, and I wish we can get slides. And
yes, Derek, it's really good one.
Yes, we will be emailing out the slides to everyone who attended. So thank you.
Good job.
It also has been recorded, so we'll email that link out as well.
Steve, someone just texted me a question actually, and they were asking me about forcing someone to come back to work and what that looks like. And it can be a little bit tricky, right? 2 weeks ago today, the provincial government instituted the Public Health Emergency Leave Act. So you cannot. I hope you can hear me okay. So maybe someone needs to go on mute. Under the Public Health Emergency Leave Act, you cannot ask for a doctor's note. So it can be very, very tricky for folks. If people want to stay home, you kind of have to let them, right? You can ask them for details on what their return to work plan is. And if people need to be off work because of children, you kind of have to let them. So that part can be tricky, and you might want to talk that through with someone a little bit more.
Derek, like, as I already asked, like, I just started a business in January itself. So, I mean, how can I get more information on the new businesses? Like, what are the benefits? What are the government programs that I can apply?
Yeah, if I were you, and it's a great question, Ramesh, and you know, it's not great timing for you, and I understand that, but there might be some things you can take advantage of. I would call that 24/7, that 888 provincial number.
Okay.
Talk to them about your situation. Like I said before, I think that they're being fairly loose on the CEWS, the $40,000 program for new business startups. Also, I think at the very least, like one of my clients, you would be eligible for the $6,000 program.
Oh, so that is it, like from Manitoba, $6,000 program, right?
That's right. That's right.
But so for that kind of program, do I have to go to like a provincial website, or like do I have to go to bank?
You know, that just came out the other day, and so not all the information is out yet, but it will be.
Oh, okay, sure. Thank you very much, Derek.
So, Derek, is there any help for new business starting up in Ontario?
You know, I don't have it's a great question. Aside from the federal programs, you'd have to take a look for that. I'm not up to speed on it. Sorry.
Thank you.
Okay, well, if there are no more questions, thank you again for attending, and thank you, Derek, for putting this together and presenting. It is a very bizarre time we find ourselves in, and I will email out the slide deck and the link to the recording, and
Steve, thank you for putting this on.
Okay, thanks, Derek, for presenting.
Thank you. Bye-bye.